I gave a pretty tough message last week. And, you know, I try to internalize my sermons, and I like to walk around a lot, but I kind of wanted to make sure I touched on everything last week. So I read a little bit, and I talked, but this week I'm going to do something similar because I really don't want to miss any of the points. Because last week we talked about spiritual gifts and how vital it is that we implement them and impart them in the community of faith, and some of us don't, and some of us have never, and some of us don't even think we ever will. And that's a big problem. So you may say, man, I gotta hear this, but it's important because there's things in which, unfortunately, there's a lot of churches that aren't necessarily talking about things that really, really matter. And what really matters is that we function as a body of believers, that every part of the body is as vital as the other part. Do you think you'd notice it if you lost your finger? I think some of us have lost our finger in here. You notice it, right? You notice when a part of your body is not functioning the way in which it should function. Because it's part of your body. And some people go, yeah, I know that. Right? Because you've experienced it. And it seems the older we get, the more our body begins to malfunction in some way. Because our bodies are our bodies are temporary. They're not a permanent house. But they're temporary. We're going to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. Father, lead us today. Allow us to understand your truths. Speak to us through your word. And Father, illuminate our minds to your deep truths. Amen. The whole topic of spiritual gifts has become controversial in many circles. There's sometimes an emphasis on certain gifts over other gifts, and that focus has diverted from the focus on what we're supposed to be all about. Because what's happened is those spiritual gifts have been put on a pedestal, and others haven't. Others have been almost disregarded. And we are in trouble when we do that. We need to be a people that are utilizing our gifts, talents, and abilities to honor God. And I believe that a lot of churches, particularly in North America, are not utilizing the spiritual gifts that have been given. And the church in Corinth was no exception. They struggled with this big time. And Paul wrote to them and shared how important it is that they work this out. So we look at 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and we discover that the church was dysfunctional in many ways because the Corinthian church had many problems and many difficulties. The church was filled with division, arguments, lawsuits, and immorality. And these are things that unfortunately can hit in that function in our church and cause dysfunction in our church. So it's very important that we become a healthy, vibrant church community that are truly utilizing our gifts, talents, and abilities. And you may say to yourself, well, I come on Sundays. Isn't that good enough? I'm committed to this church. I come every Sunday. I want to say that if whether this is your home church or not, if you just go to church every Sunday, you're not really impacting the community of faith. Because did you hear what I said? You go to church. The problem with going to church is we are supposed to be the church. So if we're just going to the church, then what we're doing is we're having a consumerism mentality. We're going and saying, what can the church do for me? Rather than, how can I impart my gifts and talents and abilities to impact the body, the community of faith? How can I impact the community of faith? I wonder if we approach the church like that and recognize that it's not just a one-time gathering once a week, and that's the church, and the building is the church building, and instead of calling it the church, because we are the church. Did you know you are the church? We say yes to that, and then we turn our backs and walk the other way. We say, yeah, I know I'm the church, but are we functioning as a church? Are we truly the church? I found six things in this passage, and I'm going to touch on 1 Corinthians 13 for one of my points, but the first point that I have is, well, this is what we're going to try to do, defrosting our spiritual assets. We all have assets. We need to defrost them. Have you ever tried to cook? You have some meat or vegetables. If you're a vegan, I'll say vegetables, okay? You take them out of the freezer, and then you just try to cook them. Oftentimes, they may not cook properly, particularly if it's meat, because what happens is if you take the meat out of the freezer and you throw it on the grill, often it burns on the exterior, and the interior is soft, and you cannot eat it because there's salmonella in there. Unless it's red meat, then you may have some other problems. But so what we need to do is we need to defrost things in order for them to function correctly. So your spiritual assets, the assets that God has given you, I wonder if they're functioning right. I wonder if they're frozen and not being used, and you've been okay with that for many, many years, and you have been dysfunctional and pretending you're functional when in reality there's tremendous dysfunction. You're going, what is he talking about? Well, the spiritual gifts that we have, a lot of us don't really get what we have, and we don't utilize the gifts and talents and abilities that we have. And it causes dysfunction for us spiritually, but it also causes havoc and wreaks havoc on the community of faith. So be informed about spiritual gifts. This is the first thing we need to do. We need to be informed about spiritual gifts. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. The very first point. Don't be ignorant. Sadly, I think there's a lot of us walking around ignorant. We have no idea, no clue what our spiritual gifts are. And because we don't know what our spiritual gifts are, how are we supposed to utilize our spiritual gifts? See, the baby knows. And when the baby knows, we need to know. So be informed about your spiritual gifts. There's a quote that I want to share with you, and it's from John MacArthur. No local congregation will be what it should be until it understands spiritual gifts. No local congregation will be what it should be until it understands spiritual gifts. How many of you would say you understand spiritual gifts? I'm glad four of us do. We must be more functional, right? We need to understand spiritual gifts. There's a great definition I came across, and it says this. I actually have it here. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. Now, you may say, well, the fruit of the Spirit, isn't that the same as spiritual gifts? No. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we've got the fruit of the Spirit, then we've got the spiritual gifts. So they're different. They're given by the Spirit, but they're different. When you became a believer, maybe you're not a believer, but if you someday become a believer, and if you are a believer, did you know that you have spiritual gifts? And spiritual gifts are not talents and abilities. Did you know that? They are special blessings given by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit imparts these gifts to us and pours them out on us, and it's a matter of discovering them and utilizing them for the good of all the believers. There's some distinct categories, and some of these categories, we find them in, first of all, the spiritual gifts. If you want to find where the spiritual gifts are located, you'll find the spiritual gifts in you'll find in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and then you're going to find them in Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. You got 12, 12, and 4, 4. So That's where we find the spiritual gifts. And there's this great breakdown of the spiritual gifts. I want to share this with you, though, because this breakdown is spiritual gifts, all right? There's speaking gifts, there's service gifts, and there's sign gifts. So these speaking gifts are word of wisdom, prophecy, evangelism, pastor, teacher, and teaching. The service gifts are administration, exhortation, faith, giving, helps, service, and mercy. Then there's sign gifts, distinguishing of spirits, miracles, healings, tongues, interpretation. So we've got these gifts. There's also leadership. And I don't know if leadership should go in speaking gifts or service gifts. I think it's a combination of the two. It's not in there, but it falls in between the two of those, and it's utilized in both. So these are different gifts that are given by the Spirit. And I wonder, what often happens is people look at this and go, you know, I think I got the gift of wisdom. I'm a wise person, or I'm a teacher. And the reality is, a lot of times when we assess ourselves, we discover that we're totally wrong. Because when you ask the person next to you, they go, you're not a teacher. You don't have much wisdom. And then we go, oh man, really? I don't? Oh. And we get all sad. But the reality is, a lot of us are functioning apart from our spiritual gifts, and we're in a ministry, and we're doing ministry, but we're not enjoying ministry because we're functioning outside the bounds of our spiritual gifts. And ministry becomes frustrating, agonizing, and difficult, when ministry should be enjoyable. And at times, ministry is very difficult, but we should still find great joy in it. So there's this description of gifts. If you were to add up the total distinctions of gifts, the descriptions of gifts, you're going to find about 20 or so. And these different gifts that people have, if they're utilized properly, we're going to be able to impact the world in some profound ways. Now, there's a distribution of gifts. And as we study the topic of spiritual gifts, it's important to keep in mind that we're commanded to not just think about what our gifts are, but we're commanded and called out to actually impart our gifts and utilize them in this community that we call the church, the ecclesia. The second thing is, well, we jumped right to four. You would have liked that, huh? But be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Can you say in your life day to day that you're influenced by the Holy Spirit? That the Spirit is influencing you? I hope so. Let's read this together. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. So the Spirit leads us. And can you say Jesus is Lord? I'm not going to ask if someone can say Jesus be cursed. But maybe there are some that have said that. Maybe without even knowing it. Maybe just through action. But Jesus is Lord. And we discover that through the Holy Spirit. And as we discover that, we are more deeply led by the Spirit. John 3:8 says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Let's continue to allow Him to move us into deep, intimate, passionate worship. You see, in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a whole bunch going on. And it talks about the gifts. And I don't know if you've ever read 1 Corinthians 12, but I want to read a portion of it right now. I'm going to jump all the way down to 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And then you jump all the way over to 27, and it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then works of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. So we've got these different gifts, and these are gifts given by the Spirit. And if we're truly people walking by faith and not by sight that are in the Spirit, then we're going to utilize these gifts. And as we utilize the gifts, there are times in which we need to discover gifts that we know we don't really have, but we need to utilize them. For example, we are called to be merciful. Even if your gift is not mercy, you are still called to be merciful, correct? If your gift is not evangelism, this is one of the ones that a lot of people say, I don't have that gift, all right? If your gift is not evangelism, you are still called to evangelize. I didn't even hear an amen. There's too many people scared of evangelism. But we're called to share Christ. The Great Commission calls us out. If you have the gift of leadership, you're called to lead. But just because you don't have the gift of leadership, you're still a leader in some capacity. You need to make decisions, right? You need to lead in some area of your life. If we don't, then we get all messed up. So, moving on to the third thing. Incorporate diversity in your understanding. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Every person has gifts. So it's a matter of incorporating them. Now there's this Greek word, and it's called charismata, and what it means is it's grace, but it's spiritual gifts. It means gifts, and it also grace gifts. You can really say grace gifts. So these are gifts given by God, and unfortunately, there's some circles that have claimed that word and maybe been named charismatic, but the word stems from gifts. So there is nobody that should be named charismatic because it means gifts, because all of us have gifts, right? So maybe we should all be called charismatic. Uh-oh, some of you are uncomfortable right now. Who just spoke in tongues? Right? So you got this word, and Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Because God is at work within us, because he's moving within us, he begins to reshape us and renew us and revitalize us and refresh us and enables us to be empowered in ways we can never comprehend, understand, or imagine. And the sad thing is, I don't know if we really believe that. When we come to the understanding that God can do immeasurably more than we can imagine, that's when we come to this place where, maybe he can enable me to use my gifts and talents and abilities. Everybody has them. It's a matter of utilizing them. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts. Did you know all the spiritual gifts necessary can be found right in this community of faith? It's a matter of us all functioning together and being part of one community of faith and working together to impact the kingdom. It's kind of sad that there's a lot of dysfunction in church today, because I can see a lot of functioning people that are walking dysfunctional. I guess we all are in some ways, aren't we? That's why we need the infusion of the Spirit. That's why when the community of faith comes together and utilizes their gifts, it makes a tremendous impact on the world as a whole. So what are your gifts? What are your talents? What are your abilities? 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You see, I'm the pastor of this faith community, right? But I really don't like that title. Let me tell you why. Because what happens is people have a tendency to say, oh, the pastor will do it. Oh, the pastor will do it. Oh, the pastor will do it, right? When in reality, no, we will do it. We've got to be in this together. There may be someone that's in vocational ministry, but it doesn't mean they should be doing everything, right? Because that is dysfunctional. True, healthy, functioning churches are working together, are functioning together. You may know who Rick Warren is, but about 20 years ago, when Saddleback Church was growing, they had reached 500 people. And I want to share what Rick Warren said. Rick Warren, he says this, folks, I'm out of energy, and the church is getting so big that I can't do much more. As I read the Bible, it doesn't say I'm supposed to do it anyway. I'll make you a deal. If you'll do the ministry God's gifted you to do, then I'll do my part, which is to make sure you're well fed. Warren said, then they shook hands and made a pact together. It was after that that the church began to explode in growth numerically. That church is over 20,000 people now. God blessed it because the people decided to step up and to honor God and utilize their gifts for the glory of God. And God said, you're going to do that? You're going to discover this amazing blessing and huge numerical growth. I'm not saying if we do that, we're going to see like 6,000 people next week. But I will say, if we're using our gifts, when people walk through these doors, they'll go, huh, there's definitely something different going on there. That's a healthy place. I need some healthy people in my life. I'm going to go there again. And then they'll come. And then they'll get involved because we're involved. You remember last week I shared that in typical churches in North America, 10% of the people are doing all the work, really. And 90% of the people are doing nothing. Are you ready for this? Here comes a punch. I think we're like that too. We have the 10-90 issue going on. May we be a church of the 90-10. May 90% of us be doing ministry and 10% going, what's going on, man? I got to get involved. Right? If we become a highly functional church, would you agree that this entire community surrounding this church building and wherever we live, they will be impacted because we're using our gifts? Can we make a pact like he made with his congregation today that we will function in our gifts? oh no, I'm not your pastor anymore. No, see you later. Bye-bye. Right? That's bad. I'm going to tell you straight up. I want you to be honest. If you're not willing to step up, if we're not going to try and our goal is for the 90-10, I'm going to be straight up with you. I'm not willing to be the pastor of this church. I don't know if you heard that. I am dead serious. If we can't become a more functional church community, say bye, Colby. See you later. Because I'm not interested in functioning in dysfunction. I want to see a community of faith that is vibrant, that is beautiful, and that is a true light to the world. If you're not interested in that, let me know right now. Because that was the weirdest clap I've ever heard. Yes. That was kind of awkward. It was like two people like, oh yeah, that's a depressing clap. And then all of a sudden three more. No, but are we going to be 90-10 or 10-90? Okay. That's weird. So, do you know how you just clapped? Listen. Instead of shaking hands, we're going to clap together. And I'm going to start us. Are you ready for this? If you're in on it. Ready? Yeah. Yeah. That's it right there. I saw some of you not clapping. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But we need to be a church that's different, a church that's living by the biblical values that we say we live by. I am not at all satisfied with where we're at now. I hope in a year I will look back on this day and I will say, man, look what God has done. Next week, let's move it forward. That's fine with me. Identify your spiritual gifts. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. See, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And first, every born-again believer has been given the manifestation of the Spirit. Notice the phrase, each one. It doesn't say once in a while. It says, each one has been given the manifestation of the Spirit. Each one. Now, the second thing, we've been given at least one spiritual gift for the common good or profit of the church. So that gift or gifts that you have, whatever it is or they are, they need to be utilized for the common good. Have you ever been around somebody that they do something so incredibly amazing? Like what they do for a living is just wow, they are so good at what they do. Have you ever met somebody like that? That's a fun person to be around because they are functioning in their talents and abilities. But imagine if you're around somebody and they're functioning in their gifts, their spiritual gifts, their God-given gifts. And yes, God does give our talents and abilities. The difference is the talents and abilities that we have, we're born with. The spiritual gifts are imparted when we become a believer. That's the difference. Oh, by the way, I used to be scared to death to speak in front of people. And I don't even know if this is my spirit, one of my spiritual gifts. You can let me know later. Or now. Give me a boo. No. Oh, thank you. So, the fifth thing, implement your gifts, your gift to serve. So that's what it's all about, right? Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So are we serving? If we're not serving, then we need a wake-up call. If you're not serving in your gifts, ask why. Each one should use, this is 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Paul had this major concern for these young believers, and he also had a lot of concern for Timothy, who was a young pastor. And we can see that it says, do not neglect your gift. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Do not neglect your gift. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Are you fanning into flame the gift of God? Are you fanning into flame? Is the flame rising, or are you throwing water on the gift? There's a big difference. I think we're okay pouring the water, but we forget to fan the flame. If we fan the flame, what happens is our gifts begin to expand and the fire spreads. I remember I took my kids camping one time in late October in the tent on the ground. It was quite cold. And it was raining. Trying to get that fire started was quite a project. And we're blowing. I said, kids, you blow there. I'll light the fire. They're like, no, I don't want to get burned, right? Because, but it wasn't. It wasn't even lighting. So I kept lighting matches and matches and matches and matches. And then I remembered I had a lighter. So I got the lighter, but the lighter still wouldn't light it. And finally, we were able to kind of put a little barrier around, and we got the fire started. And the key was keeping the fire going. It had to fan into flame. And when it did, it finally ignited. And we had a decent fire. And then we threw some good logs on, and it burned. And that's what we need to do. We need to fan into flame, and we need to let that flame burn and burn bright. A well-known conductor was conducting. He had 100 people in the choir, and he was conducting this massive symphony. And he was at practice, and he's, you know, I don't know, I'm not a conductor. Anyway, he was conducting, and there were so many people playing and so many musicians singing. This piccolo player in the back right corner decided that she was going to not play because no one would notice. So it's going, sounding great. And then all of a sudden the conductor goes, oh! Stop, 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 stop. Looks directly at the piccolo player and says, you matter. You make a difference. We need you to play or we don't sound right. Maybe you're the piccolo player. Maybe you should be the tuba. I just threw that one in. That wasn't really the point. But what I'm trying to say is, if you're not using your gift, we don't function right. If you are, we begin to function correctly. We're at the final place here. The sixth thing, intensify your love. Okay, this passage gets utilized all the time where? At wedding ceremonies. Do you know it's kind of taken out of context in some ways? Because Paul is talking about spiritual gifts and how vital it is to love. And this is a beautiful definition of love. But when it's not explained that it's actually about spiritual gifts and why we need to utilize them and how love should come before any gifts, because the church in Corinth was holding certain gifts above even love. And they were saying this is more important than love. And let me read this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. I gain nothing. So love needs to come before anything else. And if we love correctly, I think this is a pretty loving church. Well, I love you guys and ladies. I don't know if you love me, but I think we have a pretty functional love. And so if we've got the love thing going on, then the Spirit, when we impart the spiritual gifts, imagine what God's going to do. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask God that we will be a community of faith that is not satisfied with just showing up on a Sunday morning and throwing a few bucks in a plate. God, Lord, allow us not to be satisfied with mediocrity. Allow us to be a true biblical church that, yeah, we may have some dysfunctional elements because we're human, God, but I ask that the Spirit infuses us with power and with wisdom and knowledge so we will be able to overcome any of those things and hold each other accountable and to truly be a church community that is working within our gifts and honoring you with our gifts. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you will pour out your gifts upon us even more powerfully, Lord, so we can utilize them to honor you. And Lord, as we meet Tuesday night, Father, I ask that that night will be well spent and we'll be able to grow together as a family of faith, that we will be able to become a highly healthy, functional church that is truly honoring you with our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.